David being on the run. I know already there's been some times when Saul's tried to kill David, and I know he did make that one trip to see Samuel and come back. But this is where his life on the run officially begins. And from now on, for quite some time, he's going to literally be running from one place to the next, trying to stay one step ahead of Saul and his men as they pursue him. And where he goes first, you see there in verse number 1, then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. Now this fella Ahimelech, he actually has three different names that he's called by in the Bible, and that's not really an uncommon thing, especially in the Old Testament. You find folk that when you compare scripture with scripture and look at companion passages, you see that it's the same person being called by a different name. And that's the way it was with this fellow. Back in chapter 14 of 1 Samuel, he is called Ahiah, that is A-H-I-A-H, Ahiah. But then he's talked about, the Lord Jesus talks about him over in the New Testament, and there he's called Abiathar, A-B-I-T-H-A-R, or Abathar, ever how you want to say that. But right here in 1 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 1, he's called Ahimelech. But if you check those places, the same fella being talked about in each place, he's just being called by a different name. And he was the high priest under Saul's leadership, under Saul's reign. And David comes to see him. And it says there in verse 1, Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David. And I thought about it a little bit, why would he be afraid when he saw David show up? It wasn't like David had been going around beating people up or knocking folks off or anything like that. David had been nothing but a faithful, loyal servant of Saul. That's what he had been. So I wondered why he would be afraid. But then I remembered back in 1 Samuel chapter 19. If you look back at 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse number 1, it says, and Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. So Saul's made it pretty clear what he wants to happen to David. And no doubt word has gotten around, and Ahimelech has heard about this situation. And so when he sees David coming, then naturally he would be afraid. Maybe he thinks David's had enough and he's fixing to start trying to avenge himself or take anybody out that is on Saul's side who might be a threat to him. I can just think of different reasons why he would be afraid, knowing that Saul wanted David dead. So whenever he shows up, he's afraid, and he says unto him, why art thou alone and no man with thee? He found it strange that there was nobody with David when he showed up. And actually, there were some people with David, but he had left them somewhere, and they were hiding out. And David came to see Ahimelech by himself. But in verse 2, and David said unto Ahimelech the priest, the king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee. Now, what did he say there? He said, I'm here and I'm here alone because the king has commanded me on some business. In other words, he's given me a specific command and order to go somewhere and do a certain thing. And he has told me to make sure that I don't tell anybody about this. Let no man know anything of the business. So he's telling him, I'm on an errand. I'm doing something for the king. He's told me to go and do this, but he's also told me to make sure that I don't tell anybody what it's about. Now, was that true? No, that wasn't true at all. Everything that he said right there up to that point was a lie, every bit of it. Not one thing that came out of his mouth up to where I stopped reading was true. Everything was a lie. He just makes up his story. And we saw in the previous chapter how that he asked Jonathan, Saul's son, to tell a lie on his behalf, and Jonathan did that. We spent some time talking about it. But it's amazing when you read this story of David. It's hard to reconcile sometimes the fact that the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. It's hard to reconcile that with some of the things that you see David do during the course of his life. Like all of this time that he's on the run from Saul, he's just telling one lie after the other. Wherever he goes, he's pretending, he's lying, he's making up stories. And then, of course, we know the things that happened after he became king, how that he commits adultery and has the woman's husband killed. It's just hard to, for me anyway, it's hard to reconcile the Bible saying he's a man after God's own heart with some of the stuff you see David doing in his life. But it's like we talked earlier, the thing that we all have to remember about people in the Bible, even the folk in the Bible that we consider great men and women of God, we have to always bear in mind that they were human beings just like anybody else. And they were prone to sin. They were prone and susceptible to temptation just as much as anybody. If you cut them, they would bleed just like any of us bleed when we're cut. It's not like these people in the Bible were somehow superhuman beings that were immune to all of the other problems or all of the problems that us ordinary folk have to deal with. That's not the way it was. They were ordinary people themselves. That's all they were. They had a sinful flesh just as much as anybody that's in this world right now. And anybody that has a sinful flesh, and every human being does, has the potential to do wrong, has the potential to sin. And I don't mean just sin occasionally, but sin often. And I don't mean just sin in something that we might consider minor, but in something very big. Do all of you understand in here tonight that you could do something as bad as the worst ungodly human being that lives on this earth right now? Now, I think sometimes we don't believe that. We feel like for whatever reason we're beyond that and it wouldn't happen in our life. But given certain circumstances, any of us in here could do horrible things. We really could. And it's like we've talked before about pressure situations. You put people in the pressure cooker, and it tends to draw certain things out of them. It's stuff that's there. It's stuff that's within all of us. Everybody in here tonight, every one of us has the potential to tell a lie just like David did, right? Everybody in here has the potential, this is what you may not believe about yourself, but everybody in here has the potential to have someone killed just like David did. That stuff is within everybody because we all have the same corrupt, depraved, sinful flesh. Every one of us do. So that potential resides within all of us. And you put people in a pressure cooker and you especially put somebody's life on the line like David is here. If you don't walk really, really close to God, you'll find yourself doing some of those very same things to protect your hide. So you have to bear that in mind when thinking about David. And I think when you look at David, you see a perfect example, a good illustration anyway, of what it means to walk in the Spirit versus walking in the flesh. Paul talks in the New Testament about how if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. which means this. If I don't walk in the Spirit, what am I going to do? Y'all understand that? I mean, it wouldn't make any sense for him to say, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Wouldn't make any sense if I couldn't fulfill the lust of the flesh. What he's saying there is, look, if you don't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh, you've got to walk in the Spirit. If you don't walk in the Spirit, then you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I think when you look at David, you see a great picture of that illustrated. Somebody at one point in their life, or at points in their life, walking in the Spirit, and then at other points in their life, walking in the flesh. I mean, you look back at the earlier chapter there where he comes out and he fights Goliath and all the courageous things that he did and the things that he said, the faith that he demonstrated in that situation. I mean, it's just amazing when you read down through that. You see a beautiful picture there of a fellow that's just full of God. But now, look at him. He's telling lies and telling people to lie for him, and we're just getting started here with some of the stuff David's going to do. You know what that shows me? Spirit and flesh is what that shows me. When you're walking in the Spirit, then you have the fruit of the Spirit. You have love and joy, peace and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness and honor. You have all those good things in your life. When you don't, you fulfill the lust of the flesh. And you do some of the things that you see David and other people do in the Word of God. And this is a situation that's, you know, for whatever reason, David is just not handling it the way he handled that situation with Goliath. His flesh is getting the best of him. That fear of, and that's just the thing. Now think about it. He goes out and fights Goliath, and if you remember from what we studied there, there doesn't seem to be 1 ounce of fear in that man at all, does there? Just full of faith and courage, full of God, not afraid of Goliath. I mean, this big, huge, massive man, he's not afraid of him at all. And then you got Saul, who wasn't near as big and powerful as Goliath, after him, and he's running and scared and lying and all this other stuff. It's just a good example of how a person in their life can go from walking in the flesh to walking in the Spirit. And whenever you have something like that happen or vice versa, then you will see the effects of it. But David, just here, he tells a lie. And then he says at the end of verse 2, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. And reading here, you don't actually see where he had servants with him, but whenever you go over to the New Testament, and we're going to probably go there in a little bit and look at these passages, we go over to Matthew chapter 12 and Mark chapter 2, and look, you find that he actually did have some people that had followed him. So when he says he had appointed his servants to such and such a place, that was the truth. He had told them to hang out somewhere while he went to talk to Ahimelech. But he said,